Any Shivan. Shanam. A moment. Api. Also. Jadu. At any time. Tishtati. Remain. Atarmakra. Without doing something. Tayate. He forced to do.
He
suddenly. Avashaha.
Helplessly.
Karma.
Work.
Sarvaha.
All.
Prakriti Jayahi.
Born
of most of material nature.
Gunaihi.
By the qualities.
Translation
proper by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Anyone is forced to act helplessly according to the qualities he has acquired from the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. Purpose. It is not a question of embodied life, but it is the nature of the soul to be always acting. Without the presence of the spirit soul, the material body cannot move. The body is only a vehicle to be worked by the spirit soul, which is always active and cannot stop even for a moment. As such, the spirit soul has to be engaged in the good work of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it will be engaged in occupations dictated by illusory energy. In contact with material energy, the spirit soul acquires material modes, and to purify the soul from such affinities, it is necessary to engage in the prescribed duties enjoined in the Shastras. But if the soul is engaged in his natural function of Krishna consciousness, whatever he is able to do is good for him. The Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.17 affirms this. Tyaktva svadharmam charanam bhujam hare bhajan apakvo tapate tato yadi yatra bhavabhadram abhudamuchyakim ho vata apto bhajatam svadharmataha. If someone takes to Krishna consciousness, even though he may not follow the prescribed duties in the Shastras or execute the devotional service properly, and even though he may fall down from the standard, there is no loss or evil for him. But if he carries out all the injunctions for purification in the Shastras, what does it avail him if he is not Krishna conscious? So, the purificatory process is necessary for reaching this point of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, sannyasa or any purificatory process is to help reach the ultimate goal of becoming Krishna conscious, without which everything is considered a failure.
Om Ajnana Timirasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurvirmanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovrishnam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Vayam Rupa Sadamitinam Dadati Vapanadikam Vande Vanam Shri Guru Shri Sadamadam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sabradaham Sagaratam Samsam Sajivam Sastaritam Sabadutam Sarinatam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Prasadine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Parashaya Prasadine Mukham Karoti Vachanam Angum Nangayate Girim Yashtrapatamaham Vande Shri Guru Nina Tadinam Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhakta Vataram Bhakta Adhyam Namame Bhakta Shaktikam Arajya Deva Bhagavan Vadesha Tanaya Saddhava Vrindavanam Samyata Jitupasana Vajavadau Vargenaya Kalpita He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Govesha Gopika Kanta 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 Namaste. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Madhavi Gauravananda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. First of all, I would like to beg blessings on all the devotees, especially the Chidur Prabhu, Shambhu Prabhu and Shambhu Pandit Prabhu for inspiring and guiding so that I can share something what I have learned and what I have read for purification of my heart and glorification of Krishna. So, today we are discussing from the fifth text of the third chapter. The translation: everyone is forced to act helplessly according to the qualities he has acquired from the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. So in the purport, Prabhupada makes a very interesting statement. He says, the spirit soul has to be engaged in the good work of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it will be engaged in occupations dictated by illusory energy. And also Prabhupada says, if the soul is engaged in his natural function of Krishna consciousness, whatever he is able to do is good for him. So even in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a shloka which really explains what exactly a person should do. So if anything done without Krishna consciousness, it is just a waste of time. So it says, Dharmaha samushitaha punsam vishvaktena katasuyaha nopadaye yadirati shamayirani kevalam. It says, Dharmaha samushitaha punsam. So everyone has a different duty. Dharma va anushitaha pumsam, pumsam is divinity. Vishvatena katasuyaha na utpade yadi radim. That means Vishvatena katha. Vishvatena means the supreme personality of Godhead. That is Sri Krishna. And Vishvatena katha means Krishna katha. So if any activity which does not lead to the tail for Krishna katha, na utpade yadi radim, samayavani kevalam. So whatever activity we may do, if it does not help us to get the taste for Krishna Katha, then it is useless or waste of time. So recently I was hearing a lecture, one of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, he had come to Vrindavan. So and he was asked to give a seminar on Krishna Leela. So he came, he was very, very well prepared, from starting to end, very nicely prepared, and he came. He started this Mangalacharan, he started reciting the Mahashlokas, and he saw many devotees rolling off. They started sleeping. So he was very much bewildered. He thought, what is this? I prepared so much and nobody is ready to hear. Since as soon as he started, he was saying, Nakshapraya Kabadrishu. So as soon as we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, all our anxieties are gone. So we go to sleep. So he was saying, he prepared so nicely, but devotees started dozing off. He felt very bad. So he decided, I should do something for this. Otherwise, we can't actually deliver what we want to communicate. So the next day he came for the next session and he started with Bhagavatam in a very different way. And he started to talk about everything. He said, Krishna Leela is like cricket. So many devotees were dozing off, everybody got woke up from their sleep and they became very attentive to hear. And he said, Krishna Leela is like cricket. And everybody was smiling. He saw a smile from the devotees and he said, yes, this is the way. And he said, Krishna Leela is like a cricket and Krishna is like a fast bowler. That means Krishna is like a fast bowler. And all the demons are batsmen. They come and bowl. And Balaram is like a spin bowler. He will come and he spins and he throws off. And demons are like batsmen. And Kamsa is like umpire. He comes and says, out. So everyone, the wicket down, so he says, out. So he was saying that it is very important to hear Krishna Bhagavatam. That is Krishna Katha. So in this particular sloka, this is 3.5. Actually in the second chapter, Arjuna is completely bewildered. So in the third chapter, first and second sloka, Arjuna comes to Krishna and asks, my dear Krishna, I am completely bewildered, I don't know what exactly to do. So we discuss the detail of why Arjuna actually gets confused. So I would like to give a brief recap about the first and second chapter, what exactly. So we come to the fifth sloka of the third chapter and we'll understand what exactly is that. So in the first chapter, and you know, Bhagavad Gita is a dialogue. Dialogue means there should be minimum two people. So in Bhagavad Gita, first there is Dharma, Dhritarashtra and Sanjaya and Krishna and Arjuna. So first Sanjaya speaks to Dhritarashtra. And Sanjaya, even though he was not on the battlefield, he was able to have the darshan of God because of Vyasadeva's mercy. He said, Vyasadeva Prasada, Vyasa Prasada. So because of the benediction given by Vyasadeva, he was able to see Krishna even though he was sitting in his palace. So I was just last time when Kaundeya Prabhu came, he gave a very wonderful lecture and he spoke many things on television. So I was thinking, so what Sanjaya had is actually a Doordarshan. So darshan of the Lord from far distance. So I was thinking, what exactly is the English word, for this Doordarshan? So I just was just searching for this particular word in dictionary. What exactly is the word? Television. So television means, television is a combination of two words from Greek and Latin. Tele means far and vision means the sight. So anything which you see from far, and it is called television. But nowadays Doordarshan is completely, it is a channel, it is a TV. It is completely actually covering our vision. I was recently hearing on a very nice lecture. It is said, television, what Sanjaya had is actually Doordarshan. But what is TV we have, it is actually covering our darshan. That means it is covering our vision. It is covering the reality. That means, to explain in detail, whenever we see, like nowadays many children are completely busy watching TV. So whenever we sit in front of the TV, what exactly is the TV does? Actually there are many images which keep on moving. So if a small child is completely used to see things which is always moving, when it sits in front of books, it clicks, it is automatically. So whoever is too much attached to this TV, then automatically we cannot concentrate, the power of concentration loses. So we cannot concentrate on scriptures. So basically if you want to understand, we have to have jnana. Jnana is very important. That means we have to read scriptures, put in English, and Prabhupada many times he stressed on this particular point. Many devotees are distributing books, but we should also make sure that we read books. It is very important. So this devotee was very nice explaining, because of our attachment with the TV, we have no vision. The short form for no vision is NV. So NV is also an anartha, one of the six anarthas, because of which we have come to this material world. So if we keep on watching this TV, definitely our vision is covered and we will have no vision. So in the first chapter, we'll just see the first chapter. In the first chapter, Arjuna asks Krishna, Krishna, please take me in the middle of the battle, in the middle of the army, so that I can see what exactly is happening. So Krishna brings the chariot in the middle and ready the first chapter observing the army. So Arjuna, after seeing his Dronacharya, Bhishmadev and his cousin brothers, everybody, he becomes completely bewildered. He says, I'm not going to fight. So if anything happens to him, it is that he becomes very compassionate, he gets bewildered, his mind gets depressed, and eyes full of tears, etc. Many things. Similarly, if we compare the same thing in our life, we also come across this stages every day, every now and then. We also sometimes we get bewildered, we don't know what to do, how to make decisions, and we are also completely, sometimes we become compassionate, our mind gets completely depressed. So whenever we have these problems, we have to just go to senior devotees and ask, Prabhuji, please have this problem. And when we open up our heart, then we get the solution. So Arjuna is also doing the same thing. Arjuna, he was completely bewildered, he did not know what to do. So he comes and asks Krishna, Krishna, I am surrendered to you, please help me. So then Krishna starts preaching to Arjuna. And Krishna uses a very wonderful strategy of preaching. So what exactly is preaching? So I heard a very nice statement, definition for preaching. Preaching means to break and make. So what to break and what to make. So preaching means to break already established material relationship and to help making relationship with Krishna. So we are all trying to preach. So this is the main concept. So our preaching is completely based on this concept. So we have to break the relationship which is already established with the material relationship, and we have to help making the relationship with Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada, many devotees came and told Srila Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, you are preaching wonderful with this Krishna consciousness, but people are saying you are being brainwashed." And Prabhupada said, what to do? Their brain is completely dirty, I have to wash. Otherwise it's very difficult, they keep on going with the dirty brain. So now here in second chapter there is a wonderful explanation. Arjuna says, "I don't want to fight." So Arjuna did not want to fight mainly because of five basic reasons. So Guruji Prabhu very nicely explains in his book. So the first point why Arjuna did not want to fight is, first point is Arjuna becomes very compassionate. Arjuna becomes very compassionate. He thinks if Duryodhana out of ignorance, he wants to kill and fight and he wants to commit this kind of sinful activity, if Duryodhana is out of ignorance is acting, so as a good person, why should I act like this? So he becomes completely compassionate. So it is explained there are three kinds of people. The first kind of people are called the Asuras. Asu means immediate and the Ram means Ravan, who wants to enjoy. So Asura means one who wants to enjoy immediately. That means Asuras, they don't mind to enjoy, they want to enjoy immediately even at the cost of other suffering. They don't mind see other people, other person is actually suffering. Even at the cost of other suffering, he is ready to enjoy. So this is called Asuric mentality. So a nice example I was giving, one time one thief attacked one lady. He snatched the necklace, the gold necklace which the lady was actually wearing. So he took, so the lady decided, anyway he has taken my jewel, I can't do anything now. So immediately I went to the same thief was running and this lady was running, "My dear thief, come here. And thief was completely bewildered. I'm snatching and rather than running, he is following me. Then he went and she said, "The next door there is one more lady, she has also got a new necklace, please go and take from her also." So that means she doesn't want herself to suffer, she wants other ones also to suffer. So that again she is feeling consoled. And the second kind of people are Sajjan. Sajjan means she is happy and he wants others also to be happy. That means he cannot see others suffering. So he makes sure that others are also happy and he is also happy. But there are the third category of person, he is called Sadhu. Sadhu is one step ahead. He wants others to be happy, even at the cost of his own suffering. He is ready to suffer for the other's pleasure. And Arjuna was actually on this platform. Arjuna was saying, "The bigger amount of ignorance, he wants to fight and kill and make mess. Why should I do? I go to forest and I suffer no problem. Let him enjoy." So that's what Arjuna was on the platform of Sadhu. So Arjuna becomes compassionate. Before that we should know what exactly compassion is. So compassion, for example, there is a boil on our hand. So a person has a boil and he goes to a doctor. And doctor, he takes knife, he takes injection so that he can cure. And as soon as the patient sees the knife and the injection, the patient says, "Oh doctor, please leave me, it is so painful. I can't tolerate this pain, please leave me." Then doctor thinks, yeah. Anyway, if I put the knife or if I give the injection, this person is going to suffer. So let me be compassionate, let me leave off. So is this a wonderful act which the doctor has to do? No. So that doctor, even though he may have some suffering in the starting, no problem, he has to go on and operate it. So but if he becomes compassionate, then the whole problem starts from there. So and we saw the first reason why Arjuna did not want to fight is Arjuna became compassionate. And the second reason, Arjuna gave, actually these five reasons, whatever Arjuna gave is very, very logical, very wonderful. The second point what Arjuna said is, after killing everyone, I cannot enjoy. If everybody is dead, so in whom I can enjoy? So it is waste. So better I will not fight. So this point shows that, and in the first point, Arjuna becomes compassionate and Krishna refutes this point in the second chapter from 12th sloka to 38th. From 12 to 38, Krishna directly refutes why Arjuna should not become compassionate. He says, "You are not this body, you are the spirit soul," many things like that. So in the second point, Arjuna is enjoyment. I cannot enjoy if everybody is dead. So then this shows that our enjoyment is actually dependent. We are not independent enjoyers. Our enjoyment is completely dependent. So if there is a proposal, for example, there is a huge bungalow which has 25 bedrooms and you have 3-4 cars inside the bungalow and you have 1 or 8 items for breakfast, lunch, dinner and all the comfortabilities, you name it, and you have it in this particular bungalow. Everything is there. So, and you have a facility and there is a proposal so that you can go and stay there, and but there is only one condition. And what is the condition? There will be nobody and you will be alone. So how many of us here, we can take this kind of proposal, accept this kind of proposal? It is very difficult. We may have everything in the whole world, but if there is nobody, we cannot enjoy. So the same logic Arjuna is giving. So if I am alone, how can I enjoy? It is completely difficult. So the third reason what Arjuna gives, if we kill, things will overcome us. That means if we destroy the whole army, then I will get killed. Then for that, I have to do purification. There are many purificatory processes, many things like that. So Shastra also gives, I recently came up with this wonderful shloka, which says, Snahina Kala Shokabhyam, Samskara Tapate Jaya, Shuddhanti Dana Sankushya, Atmatma Shuddhaya. This shloka explains, Snahina Kala Shokabhyam. And our body is purified by snan. And the nature, the rock, the mud, soil, everything is purified by kala, the time. Snanena kala shauchabhyam, samskara tapase jaya. The birth is purified by samskara. And the senses are purified by tapas, that is austerity. Tapase jaya, shuddhanti dana santushya. And whatever we are possessing, our possessions and objects are purified by dhana, dhanena. Dhanena, shuddhanti dana santushya, atmatma shuddhaya. And atma is purified by Atma Sakshatkar, that is self-realization. This is what Vandu Pushloka explains, the details of purification process. So, and the fourth reason what Arjuna gives is, by killing everyone, if I kill everybody, the whole army, then all the men are killed, the women are left alone. So then there is an opportunity for Varna Shankara. So after, once the men are dead, because of impurity, whatever the birth given by the woman, they become Varnashankara. So, and the fifth reason is what Arjuna gives is indecision. And Arjuna was confused. He was not ready to accept that I should fight. And even though Krishna says he should fight, then Arjuna is still bewildered. So now, this is a summary, the slight brief for the second chapter. And in the third chapter, it is the Karma Yoga, it says, in the second chapter that is the verse 49, it says, Durenahi avaram karma buddhi yoga dhananjaya. So the proper way translation, keep all abominable activities far distant by devotional service. And this particular shloka actually bewilders Arjuna. Arjuna's confusion and bewilderment, and he comes to dilemma because of this particular shloka in the second chapter, that is 49th shloka. He says, keep all the activities for far distance by devotional service. And why exactly Arjuna gets confused? Arjuna thought abominable activity means not to kill or not to fight, but to take sannyas. Durena, Krishna says, Durena, keep far distance all the abominable activity by devotional service. And but Arjuna is thinking, he is assuming that abominable activity means I should not fight, I should not kill anybody, I should take sannyas. And because even in the last, the 33 slokas of second chapter, Krishna uses the word buddhi 10 times, about 10 times. So Arjuna is thinking, oh, buddhi means by acting intelligently, that means I should not kill and I should not fight. So in the same sloka, the 49th of second chapter, Prabhupada very nicely defines what is abominable activity. Prabhupada says, except Krishna conscious activities, all other activities are abominable. I was bewildered when I read the Prabhupada is directly making this point. Thus, Arjuna in the first two verses of third chapter actually asking Krishna, this is my confusion, please help me, otherwise I'll go mad. So in the 3.1.1, Arjuna says, why are you asking me to engage in this ghastly war if intelligence is higher than the mind? I'm confused. Tell me clearly, you want me to engage in war or renounce this life? So generally people Arjuna was actually sincere student, that's why he is approaching the Krishna. But generally people think worshipping God means giving everything and only worship. So once one devotee was saying, one temple president of ISKCON, he got into an auto and he was traveling in the auto and the driver said, Swamiji, may I know who are you? He said, my name is Vishnath and I am the temple president of this particular temple. Then he said, oh Prabhuji, Swamiji, can I join you? I want to join your temple. And the temple president got actually shocked. What is this? He just saw me once and he wants to join. And he was taken aback. And he said, India, Sabra River. Tell me, sir, why do you want to join? And he said, yesterday I had a fight with my wife, so I just want to join today. So he was completely bewildered. So he was thinking, so these are the kinds of reasons what people give exactly. So how people actually think that if I don't have anything to do, so let me go to temple and join. So they don't know what exactly is activity inside the temple. And once there is a passing of Srila Prabhupada, there was a temple, they would do morning kirtan loudly and they always had a problem, the neighbor problem. So the neighbors would come and black devotees, why are you doing, why are you causing so much trouble to us, we can't sleep early in the morning, you come and you do kirtan, brothers and all, it is completely disturbing, you are creating nuisance, so we are completely disturbed, just vacate this place. And the devotees, what they can do, they said, okay, control, they gave prasadam, and they took prasadam, but they were not, they again started fighting. And they were thinking what to do. But they can't stop the program. They continued the program. And after some time, they announced big posters that ISKCON founder Acharya, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada is coming the next week. And once the neighbors heard that this news, that Srila Prabhupada is the founder Acharya of this ISKCON, he is coming to temple, that means they were consoled. They thought, if this person comes, he is a founder Acharya, that means he might be definitely be intelligent. So definitely I will go and complain to him. So once I complain, he will understand because he is an intelligent person. Then he will actually do what exactly is the useful. So this devotee, this the neighbor is very enthusiastic to see Prabhupada and to go and complain him about this devotee. And the day came and Srila Prabhupada arrived and many cars. And this devotee had 2-3 cars. And they had 3 cars and they got a very wonderful car. Srila Prabhupada just arrived. And these people were very enthusiastic to see Prabhupada and damn devotees. So this neighborhood, they were waiting and watching what exactly this Swami did. And Prabhupada came and they got down, he came and he gave that. And after that, they came and told, Swami did want to speak to you. And they made a separate, arranged so that they can meet Srila Prabhupada. And now everybody was sitting and they came. And they were started blasting. They raised their voice. And they said, Swami ji, your disciples, these devotees, they are not doing anything. They are simply eating, I have seen, morning, afternoon, night, they complete meat and wonderfully they eat, and they don't do any work, but they have 3 cars. And you know, we, and we both husband and wife, we have only 1 car, and we work from morning 8 o'clock to night 10 o'clock. 10 to 12 hours, more than 12 hours we work, and we have only 1 car, and we have to struggle so much for our daily bread. But these devotees, your disciples, they don't work anything. They don't do anything. So they exaggerated many things so that Prabhupada will console them. So after hearing Prabhupada, after Prabhupada heard everything. So Prabhupada heard everything and Prabhupada said, so you worked more than 12 hours? And they said, yes, we worked more than 12 hours. So you have only 1 car. They said, yes, we have only 1 car. So you have so much struggling to have 3 times the food for that. To adjust and have 3 times the food, you have to struggle so much. Yes, we have struggled so much. But your disciples, they don't do anything. So Prabhupada said, why don't you join them? So Prabhupada said, why don't you join them? So if they are getting things done in a very nice way, why can't you join? Then they said, okay, we'll come later. So it really requires some courage to practice devotion. So what devotee was saying, practicing bhakti is like going against the gravitational force. So gravitational force is so strong in this world. So it is just, I don't know exactly, it is 11.2 kilometers per second. So it is very, very huge. Per second, you can travel. The gravity force is 11.2 kilometers. So this devotee was saying, our bhakti should be so intense that we have to overcome this huge force. And when there was one Muslim company where there were many Hindu devotees also. So they would go with Srila. And once the boss was disturbed because see every day Srila the devotees. So he called one meeting. He called all the people, were employees in one big hall. And he was very upset and he was very angry. Then he said, So all the employees, this is the final instruction. From tomorrow, nobody should wear tilak. So this is the end. If you wear tilak, I'm going to dismiss you. So you can't work again. So this is the last time I'm saying this. So he gave instruction. So after the next day he saw, nobody wore tilak. And he was very happy. But there was one devotee who came with tilak. And he was completely taken aback. He was completely bewildered. And he said, even though I gave such a strong instruction, even though I said, if anybody comes with a tilak, I am going to remove, completely suspend from the company, but see you are wearing tilak, and I allow you, only you can wear tilak and come to company, but nobody else can wear. So it really requires some courage to do devotion. So in the Bhagavad Gita 3.2, Arjuna Krishna clearly that he is confused, and Krishna begins to answer Arjuna's question from 3.3 to 3.9, and our verse is 3.5. It is one of the answers what actually Krishna gives to Arjuna. So Arjuna is confused and in dilemma. So we also in our life practically, if you see, we are also confused and in dilemma many times. And especially the time when we get up, when the alarm rings, from that time we are confused. So every day, I hope everybody, all of us, we put alarm. Without alarm, definitely we can't get up. We know that we have to get up early in the morning in Brahma Muhurtam, we have a chance. So we put alarm. In the night, we are very, very enthusiastic. Tomorrow morning, I'm put a 4 o'clock alarm. 4 o'clock, as soon as alarm rings, I'm going to get up. And immediately I start chanting, I will hear everything, I will finish up everything, then I'll go to office. But that doesn't happen every time. So devotee was explaining, many times when we were staying in base and all, many times there is alarm, sometimes alarm rings and there are one more alarm, but still nobody will get up, the alarm will keep ringing, and all others will get up, the person who has put alarm will not get up. So what happens, when the alarm rings, we think, yes, I have got up, and we are still in sleep, we are thinking, yes, I have got up, only thing is, now I will just go and take bath and go to Mangalarati. So by thinking, again we sleep, in the dream, we have already got up. And we have already taken bath, and we are already in the kirtan for the morning program, and we are reading kirtan, samsara dhavan loka. And after some time, we hear some devotees and we get up, and it is already 7 o'clock. So our challenge, our confusion and our dilemma starts from the day, early in the morning, when alarm rings. So a devotee very nicely is explaining, when Krishna was performing his lila in this material world, he was a grihastha, and he also performed all the rituals very nicely. He would get up early in the morning, he would perform all the rituals, but Krishna never used alarm. And this devotee was saying, I was confused, why is this devotee saying like this? And he said, why Krishna did not use alarm? He said, if Krishna is Allah and Krishna is Ram, then why does he need alarm? So many times we come to this kind of confusion state. Once there was a devotee, a Prabhupada disciple, his name is Kalyapani Prabhu. I was hearing him lecture. So he was saying, Kalyapani Prabhu, he was coming from Mayapur to Calcutta in the bus. So if you want to catch flight from Calcutta, he's from South Africa. So he was about to go to South Africa. So he was in Mayapur. So there is a bus which leaves from morning to. So morning this bus leaves two times, one or two times it leaves. The bus leaves from Mayapur to Calcutta. So he took one of the bus, he got into one of the bus, and he was coming to Calcutta. So that he can come to Calcutta temple and take prasadam and take rest. And in the night he had a flight to South Africa. So he was coming and he saw there were many, many sponsors, life members. So he saw life members. So he saw many they were there. They were simply chit-chatting, they were doing something, they were speaking. And this Kalyapani Prabhu, he was not a good speaker. So he wanted to speak and he wanted to preach to these people. Why are you simply speaking something? Speak Krishna Katha. And he wanted to get the glories of Srila Prabhupada. Anything he wanted to speak to these people. But his life members, they were simply sitting and they were doing this thing. He wanted to do it and he was in dilemma, whether should I go or should I not, should I go or should I not. So he was completely confused, he did not know what to do. But after one moment, he saw on billboard, he was sitting and he was in dilemma, whether should I go, whether should I not, should I go, should I not. So he saw in the on billboard, and after reading this billboard, he was telling me, yes, I am going to speak to these people. And he came and he was very enthusiastic and he spoke for half an hour, 45 minutes continuously. And everybody heard so very carefully and everybody appreciated this person. And he kept what he read in the billboard suspense.
and he told the last. And he said, what is exactly he read in the reward? He said, when he was in dilemma, he was sitting next to the, he was sitting in the window seat, and he was saying, and he saw a big billboard, and in the billboard it was written, why don't you just talk? Hutch phone. So it was an advertisement for Hutch mobile. So how the same one, the same thing, how differently we perceive? So if somebody is a materialist, he has read this particular thing, the statement, why don't you just talk? Then you will be thinking, yes, if I have my mobile, I can speak to my mother, my father, my wife, husband, many things we can think. But the devotee, when he saw this, and you see Krishna is speaking through this billboard, and he took this as an instruction from Krishna, and he was very enthusiastic, and he went and he was preached very nicely. So one more pastime of Prabhupada, once Prabhupada, when he was there in one of the foreign country, and he was giving in one of the college universities, I think it is in Berkeley, I am not sure. So he was giving a lecture. He gave a wonderful lecture on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So after the lecture, devotees were confused. What to do? And because they had brought huge sweets, Bengali sweets, and they had books to distribute. So they did not know what to do, they were confused. So finally, there was Tripurari Maharaj. He said, some devotees can go and do distribute sweets, and I will go and distribute books. And they went and they were distributing. Prabhupada saw there were many devotees distributing their sweets, and here also some devotees were distributing. And Prabhupada was confused. What is this? What these devotees are doing? Then Prabhupada asked one devotee, so what these devotees are doing? And he said, Prabhupada, they are distributing Bengali sweets. And Prabhupada said, okay. Then what is, where is Tripurari Maharaj? And the devotee said, Tripurari Maharaj is distributing Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Prabhupada said, Tripurari Maharaj is distributing Chaitanya Charitamrita? Yes. And actually that is the real Bengali speech. Probably that is actually the real Bengali speech. So many times we get dilemma, and one more very important thing, that is when we sit in front of Prasadam cake. So many times we are full, our stomach is full, but still there is some sweet comes, some popcorn, something comes, some interesting item. So we get confused what to do, whether should we take or not. So stomach is actually full, but the mind wants to take little, and we ask Prabhuji, give a half of the half spoon. Then he doesn't give the half of the half spoon, he gives full spoon. So internally we are happy, but still externally we feel that, so we try to cheat ourselves. So Devamuru was saying, he was saying very nicely, whenever we get in dilemma by taking prasadam, whether should I take or not, better don't take. So there was no thing. So if you are in dilemma whether to take or not, better don't take. And whether, again one more you were saying, well, if you want to clear from us, again we will be in dilemma. Whether to clear or not, we'll waste our time. So Prabhuji was saying, whenever you get this kind of dilemma, better to finish it. So go and clear it. But when it comes to prasadam, better don't take it. So, there is one more shloka which comes in Niti Shastra, which is, हमसो श्वेतो बहु श्वेतः को वेद बहु संशयोः नीर क्षीर विवेकेतु हमसो बहु बकः. सो दिस श्लोक से हमसो श्वेतो दैट मीन हमसा इज वाइट बहु श्वेतः बहु मीन दैट बहु इज ऑल्सो दैट श्वेत मीन वाइट. सो व्हेन यू सी द हमसा व्हाट इज हमसा इन स्वान स्वान व्हेन यू सी स्वान एंड क्रेन together, you will see both the resemblance similar. So you can't actually differentiate. So how to differentiate? The next line says, Hamsa Shweta Bhaka Shweta Ko Veda Bhaka Hamsa Yo. What is the difference between swan and the duck? Then it says, Neera Shira Viveke Tu. When you give a mixture of water and milk in front of both birds, then you understand Hamsa Bhaka Bhaka. That means, Hamsa, even though you see a mixture of water and milk, it sucks only the milk. It leaves apart the water. But buck, that is dust, it cannot do that. So Hamsa has, this shows that that's why, because our sannyasi is also Paramahamsa. So what exactly is the meaning of Paramahamsa? The meaning is, even though this pure devotee, even though he is there in this material world, even though this material world is full of duality, even though this material world is full of good and bad, but this Paramahamsa, this pure devotee takes only good things. That's why he is also called Paramahamsa. But now in this second chapter, we understood Arjuna was in confusion. So why exactly? What is the solution for Arjuna's confusion? So recently I got one mail in my company. It gives a wonderful model. It says, there was a person whose name is John. And this person was very tall, very hefty, very huge muscles, very huge size. And whoever would see this person, they would know this person. I can't actually sit stand in front of this person. Everybody would get fearful. His appearance was like that, very strong and huge. So what happened is, John, he got into a bus. So the conductor's duty is to ask ticket for ticket. And conductor saw this person and he was bewildered. Should I ask ticket or not? But somehow he made his mind and he went and asked, sir, ticket. He said, John never buys ticket. And he was completely bewildered. So he said, he thought, I'll go back. So he did not ask, by the way, he did not take the ticket. So he went, and next day he came, again he saw John sitting in the last seat, very huge, big body, like kind of thing. Then again this conductor saw, he asked, sir, ticket. He said, John never buys the ticket. Again he was completely bewildered. Again next day he came, again he saw, John never buys the ticket. Then in the fourth day he said, if I ask like this, this person is not going to bend, he is bent upon. So he finally decided, from today I am going to go to gym, I am going to learn Arabic, I am going to learn Karate, I am going to learn Kung Fu. So he went, and within 5 months, he was the same personality like this John. He got a huge personality, huge muscles, huge size. He said, now if he says, I will ask him, what? Now let me see what he will do. He came well prepared after 5 months. He came, the same bus, again John was there. He came, today he decided, today he should leave or I should leave. So he came and he asked, sir, ticket with more than one. So John said, again he said the same thing, John never buys the ticket. Then he asked, why the hell you don't buy the ticket? Then he said, I have a bus pass. So this actually is a wonderful model. The moral of the story is, first of all, rather than going for a solution, first of all, you should understand what is the problem. He could have asked humbly, sir, what is your problem? Why you don't want to buy the ticket? He could have told. He was thinking, he was actually assuming things. So our problems, basically, many of our problems are imagined problems. Many times, our problems are imagined. So because of imagined problems, we try to get solution from the imagined problem. So again, we get completely stuck in that bond. So finally, now Arjuna was confused, Arjuna was bewildered. So what is the problem, Arjuna? Why exactly Arjuna was bewildered? So Krishna, in the second chapter, third verse, clearly, as soon as Arjuna tells, I am completely bewildered, I'm very compassionate, my body is quivering, and my eyes are filled with tears, immediately Krishna understood what is his problem. So this is called, in professionally, root cause analysis. So we have to understand what is the root cause. So then we can actually treat the root. So Arjuna, Krishna very nicely understood. So he says in the third sloka, Klaityam Matma Gama Pratha, Naisat Vayuko Padyate, Shudram, Hudaya Dharvalyam, Chakva Tishta Pantapa. So this is the problem what Arjuna had. So what is that? Krishna says, Klaityam Matma Gama Pratha, Naisat Vayuko Padyate. Why have you got this completely Klaityam? What is that? Impurities. So why are these impurities come upon you and it doesn't suit you? Krishna is directly telling him, this whatever impurities you have got, it doesn't suit you. You are a man of substance. But why are you troubled so much? Then Krishna makes very wonderful, this word is a very wonderful word. He says, Shudram Hudaya Dorbalyam. Actually Hudaya Dorbalyam means weakness of heart. Weakness of heart. But Krishna is saying, Shudram, it is petty weakness of heart. So many times we also know. And somebody gives us neighbor or some brothers, younger brothers, they come and solve this problem. He says, this is a very nice, easy problem. We can solve, put some formula and just solve. Sometimes they come and ask, what is 2 minus 3? Because for them, you cannot subtract small number from the bigger number. You cannot subtract bigger number from the smaller number. So they are completely bewildered. So they come and ask, then we say, this is completely a silly problem. For us, it is very silly. So that's why Krishna was saying, it is Shudram Hudaya Dorbalyam. It is just petty weakness of heart. And Krishna is saying, Chattva Uttishta Parantapa. So completely give up this and Uttishta, get up and fight, come on Arjuna. And he's completely inspiring and giving inspiration to Arjuna. So now the next question arises, what exactly is this weakness of heart? So actually when I read this particular shloka, I understood. After that, I was also completely bewildered. Okay, we understand because of weakness of heart. And how many of us here also we have weakness of heart? So all of us, we have weakness of heart. And all of us, we are actually suffering from this weakness of heart. So I also had this, that definitely I also had this because of art. So I was thinking, first of all, if I understand what is the problem, the root cause analysis, then I can give some solution. Otherwise, it will become like the story of John. So I was thinking, what exactly is this business of art? Then I asked one of the senior devotees, and he gave a very, very interesting analogy. So now we'll discuss something about what exactly is the business of art. So generally, we say, whenever we see some small, cute babies, from the chicks, we say, oh my sweetheart. And if even for our loved ones, we say sweetheart. And what exactly, why do we call sweetheart? Sweetness, how do we get a knowledge of sweetness, whether it is sweet or not, by using our tongue? So here, the sweetness we are relating to our heart. I was again bewildered, why exactly this? And again we say, oh my heart is broken. So, weakness of heart means, whenever we have weakness of body, what do we do? What do we take? Glucose. We take glucose. And if we have weakness of heart, what should we take? Any glucose, electrons? It doesn't help. So, what exactly is that if my heart is broken in spot, if my heart breaks, actually I cannot live. That is the end of my life. So what exactly is the meaning of this heart, weakness of heart? Or the heart is broken, or sometimes we relate somebody to my sweet heart, or the heart is broken. What exactly is this? So, the very interesting analogy is, actually our mind, our whole, because our existence is because of the mind. Our conditioning, our suffering is basically, our life and dislike is because of mind. So when the mind manifests through the brain, it processes thoughts. And that is called thinking. So that's why whenever we are thinking, we say, I'm thinking, wait 1 second. We say like this. So here, brain is here. So whenever the mind manifests through the brain, it processes thoughts and that is called thinking. Then, when the mind manifests through the heart, and that is, when the mind manifests through the heart, it processes feeling or emotion, and that is called feeling. When the mind processes through the heart, it manifests emotion, and that is called feeling. And when the mind processes through the body, when the mind manifests through the body, it processes action and that is called willing. So that's how the process, the concept of thinking, feeling and willing works. When the mind plus brain is equal to thought or thinking, mind plus heart is equal to emotion or feeling, mind plus body is equal to action or willing. So without thinking and feeling, there is no willing. So everything starts with thought. That's why there is a wonderful saying in English, if you sow a thought, it reaps as a word. If you sow a word, it reaps as an action. If you sow an action, it reaps as a habit. If you sow a habit, it reaps as a character. And if you sow a character, it reaps as a destiny. So if you analyze properly, everything starts with thought. So we have to be very careful about our thought, that is thinking. So once the thinking process is very nice, very clear, very pure, then our action, habit, character, destiny, everything will take place very nicely. So now we can understand actually. What does mind, sweet heart mean? Whenever we see a baby or whenever we see something very amazing, very nice, whenever we see this wonderful cute baby, the feeling is very sweet. The feeling is very good. So that's why the feeling we are relating to heart. That's why we call mind, sweet heart. So similarly, whenever we have very bad or negative feeling, that is bad feeling, then we say my heart is broken. So my heart is broken, we say, whenever we have bad feeling. So my feeling is bad. It is not that my heart actually breaks. If literally breaks, it will also break down. So that is the understanding of what exactly is my heart. So now we understood what exactly is, how exactly the heart the function of the heart, the brain and the body. So now we will understand the three basic important things. That is, what is weakness of heart? And why do we get this weakness of heart? And how to overcome this weakness of heart? So what is weakness of heart? Anybody would like to guess? Bacteria. Yes, but definitely. So, I was hearing the definition for weakness of heart is lack of determination to overcome material temptations. Lack of determination to overcome material temptations, or in a devotional definition we can give, lack of strength to practice Krishna consciousness. So that's what Arjuna also had. So what is Krishna consciousness means? We have to follow whatever Krishna says. And Arjuna was not in a position to follow what Krishna was saying. So that's why we call this lack of strength. So many times we also come across many problems in our life where sometimes it completely disturbs us. So once Vidwan Prabhu was here, he was saying we have to become strong and we have to always think about Krishna and we have to be always in the association of devotees so that our bhakti should be like a coconut tree. If you have observed coconut tree, even there is a huge wind, it slightly bends and again comes back to it. So sometimes because of situation, we also tend to bend, but it again comes straight. But if we are like just a small plant, the huge wind comes and completely uproots the plant. So our faith in Krishna consciousness should be like coconut tree. So first we understood what is the definition, what is actually weakness of heart? It is the lack of determination to overcome material temptations. Then secondly, why do we get weakness of heart? And the Prabhupada clearly explains in the 15th chapter, Shloka 20, the last shloka. So Prabhupada explains in the 15th chapter. Krishna says, Arjuna, that you have weakness of heart, but Prabhupada explains what exactly, why do we get this weakness of heart in the 15th chapter, in the last words of the shloka. Last word, that is 20th word. Prabhupada says, the most two important things we have to overcome in this weakness of heart. In weakness of heart, why weakness of heart we get? Because of two reasons. The first weakness of heart is because of the desire to lord it over to material nature. So because of the desire to lord it over material nature, we have come to this material world. And because of the desire to lord it over material nature, we are actually suffering. So that's why we get this weakness of heart. That is the first point. And the second point Prabhupada says, second reason is attachment, because of our attachment. And in the same 15th chapter, last paragraph, Prabhupada has 2 points why we get weakness of heart. The first is desire to lord it over material nature, and the second is because of attachment, we get weakness of heart. Because Arjuna was attached, again, that's why he was also had weakness of heart. So then the third point is how to overcome this weakness of heart. This is the application part of it. So Prabhupada gives the answer for this again in the Bhagavad Gita 15th chapter, from 15.1 to 15.5, Prabhupada explains how to overcome this weakness of heart. And in that, the lessons have taken in 2 points. The first is because by jnana, and the second is by vairagya. Jnana and vairagya. And even he said, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Janeti Ashu Vairagyam Jnanamcha Bharatahitukam. So even in Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, by practicing Bhakti we develop these two qualities, that is we get Jnana and we get Vairagya. So I was thinking how it is related. So if you see the first point, why do we get weakness of heart? First is because we have a desire to lord it over material nature. And here, how to overcome this? The first point Prabhupada says, by jnana. So, because of our ignorance, I am thinking, I am the lord of this material nature, I am trying to enjoy it. So that's why I get attached, that's why then I come to attachment, because I get weakness of heart. So the first point, that is desire to lord it over material nature, can be overcome by developing jnana. The second point is attachment. Where do you get weakness of heart? The second point is attachment. And attachment can be overcome by vairagya. So once you develop jnana, and when we practice bhakti very sincerely, we develop these two things, which is jnana and vairagya. By this actually we can overcome the weakness of heart. So in essence, surrendering to Guru and Krishna and following their instructions, what Prabhupada writes in these few verses. So Prabhupada writes in 15.4, as soon as one surrenders to Krishna, one becomes detached automatically from this material extension. So by following instructions, of Guru and Krishna, we will become actually mad. So once mad for Krishna. Once there was yatra, there were many sannyasis gathered, and the Jayadeva Swami Maharaj was speaking. He was actually speaking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was saying, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so much mad for Krishna. He was always thinking about Krishna, he was always meditating on Krishna, and whenever somebody would say Krishna, he would faint, sometimes he would faint. He was completely mad for Krishna. And Jayadeva Swami Maharaj made one interesting statement. He said, we should also become mad in this for Krishna. And immediately there was Radha Swami Maharaj. He grabbed the mic and he said, Jayadeva Swami is a bona fide madman. And And again Jayadev Maharaj, again he took the mic and he said, only one bona fide madman can recognize another bona fide madman. So after hearing this first time, so I was thinking, so how we can become mad? So there is this word mad, actually if this is like acronym. So if we can expand, so M, I was just made this analogy. So M means actually meditation. So M means meditation. That means Satyananda Maharaj was saying, whatever generally we hear many things, we note down and after that we forget. So but Satyananda Maharaj was saying, whenever we hear, that is, there is Shravanam and there is Mananam and Nididhyasanam. So Shravanam means whatever we hear, we read from Prabhupada's books. For whatever we hear and we read, actually we have to meditate. So one devotee was making very wonderful statement. So he was saying, this one actually inspired me so much. He said, unless we meditate on something, we cannot achieve it. Unless we meditate on something, we cannot achieve it. So you can see, even the materialist, even if they want to achieve anything, even if they want to do work properly or get good, get promotions and all, they have to work. And people actually, they meditate. You take any successful person, they always meditate on things. But what happens to us? We hear and if we forget, then actually it is very difficult for our advancement. So if you want to advance, actually we have to meditate and meditate and meditate. This is contemplating, but that's what, first is Savaram, then comes Mananam. That means we have to contemplate and we have to meditate what exactly we heard from the class, how we can relate to our life, and any doubts we have to go and clear from the senior devotees. Unless we do this contemplation part, actually we cannot get realization. So he said, whatever we eat, we get energy from that. For example, my capacity is to eat 4 chapatis. So if I eat 4 chapatis, do I get energy from all the 4 chapatis? No. So if I eat 4 chapatis, I may digest only 2 chapatis. And whatever I have digested, only that, whatever I have digested, only that part, the 2 chapatis energy only I get. So that means, whatever we digest, only that, from that we get energy. Not that whatever we eat, we get energy. So similarly, we may hear, we may read anything, we may finish the whole 12 cantos, everything. But how much we have digested, how much we have contemplated, how much we have thought, and how much we have actually thought about it. So, whatever we contemplate, that much only we digest. And that helps us to advance in our Krishna consciousness. Many times we have wonderful points, but finally we forget. So that's why Prabhupada always said, remembering means writing. Writing means remembering. Because even if I forget, if I have written somewhere, at least I understand. So today, that day I have written something, so we can move on, open it and see. So meditation is very, very important. So we get energy from what we digest. Similarly, we get realization of, we get proper understanding of the scriptures by what we actually contemplate and think. So the next for A, it is association. Association is very, very important. So example, if you have seen this, the drop of water, when the drop of water is put on the hot dosa tawa, it immediately what happens? It immediately evaporates. The same drop of water when you put on the lotus leaf. If anybody has seen lotus leaves, if you put the same water, drop of water on the lotus leaf, it slides down. Very nicely slides down, you should see. Then it will be very nice understanding. So if the same drop of water, if it is put on the lotus leaf, it slides down. The same drop of water, when it is kept in the conscious, it becomes pearl. So what can we understand from this? We can understand the importance of association. The water drop is same. With the association of dosa tava, it just evaporated. With the association of leaf, lotus leaf, it slid down. But with the association of the conch, it became a wonderful pearl, which has more value. So once Lord Govind Maharaj lecture I was hearing, he also made one wonderful point. He said, many times people speak, people go for to get something, they go and stand in the bank of the river and they have some stick and thread, they try to catch. So if you stand in the bank and try to catch something, what you may get maximum? You may get some small fishes. So Maharaj said, if you dive deep in the ocean, then you will get the diamonds, the real jewels, the pearls, diamonds, everything. So So our only thing is we have to dive deep in Krishna consciousness. So it is, as we are some believers, we don't know how to do all these things. Only thing is by association of devotees. Now recently hearing this wonderful example of Albert Einstein. So you all know Albert Einstein is a famous scientist. Whenever he was always been invited for many seminars, he would go many places and go and give seminars on many whatever he has discovered, theories, whatever he has prepared, presentations. So how he used to prepare his lectures or presentations? He would always sit behind in the car. He would sit behind, and driver would drive the car. So driver used to drive the car, and he would sit behind, and he would loudly recite, means loudly speak, read. So by reading many times, he would understand and everything. And by the time he reaches the seminar hall, he is ready, and he goes and he speaks, gives the wonderful seminar. This happened for many years. After that, one fine day, what happened? Have already seen again. He was doing preparing for the same topic. He was loudly, he was reciting, and on the way he felt sick. He felt uncomfortability. He had some problem. He said, "Oh, today," and it was a completely new place. Some other country had gone, and he was not sure what to do because his company had fallen sick. So he was thinking, "What I should do? This is a very very important seminar where there are many big scientists, many research people, very highly intellectual people have gathered. If I don't present, they think that what I have done is not proper. It is just escaping." So then he was thinking, he was in dilemma, what exactly to do. Then immediately the driver told, Sir Albert Einstein, don't worry, today I will give the presentation. Albert Einstein told, "Sir, do you know, in the hall, the audience are not normal audience, all are highly intellectual. They are all scientists. You can't actually convince them." He said, "Sir, don't worry, I will speak." Then Albert Einstein got bewildered. "What is this?" Then he said, "How can you speak?" Then he said, "Sir, don't worry, because every day you are sitting behind me and you are reciting the seminar part, so I have heard everything, so I will speak." Then Albert Einstein said, "Okay, tell me a few things, let us see." Then he started. Then he spoke for 1 hour. What exactly Albert Einstein wanted to speak? He spoke everything very nicely, with examples, quotes, everything. And Albert Einstein was convinced, this person can do. So then finally Albert Einstein said, "Yes, you can go, no problem." And there was everybody was waiting for the to receive Albert Einstein. Nobody had seen Albert Einstein. At that time there was no internet or anything. So devotees were saying, God is a creator of everything. So God created male and female, but man created male. So because of that, we are completely getting attached to the internet and completely we get bound. So what happened? This Albert Einstein's driver, he decided, "Yes, I am going to do." So everybody was waiting, garlands, many things, everything. So they were waiting, and as soon as the car passed, everybody came rushing towards the car. So this Albert Einstein is such a great sighting. And there comes our driver. So driver came down and everybody said, "Please come," and everybody was gathering. They put garland, many garlands, and he moved very nicely to the wall. And he went on the stage. And he gave spoke very, very nicely. Amazing, amazing presentation. All the scientists were convinced. Yes, amazingly spoke. So, but one part was, the driver did not know, after the presentation, there was question and answer. So, that was a difficult time. The driver did not say, he was not realized. But finally, he concluded the seminar, and the host came with the mic, and he said, "So, today we are very grateful that we have Albert Einstein, very wonderfully convinced all of us about his theory, whatever he has done. So now, we are welcome to ask questions." And he was completely bewildered, what to do, he was completely confused. Then he was waiting, he was shivering, whatever Arjuna had, so he also had the same power already. So finally, one time he took the mic and he asked a question. And somehow he was praying, and finally he got convinced, "Yes, I am going to do something. Somehow I managed." So the one time he asked the question, so Albert Einstein, so this driver, so-called Albert Einstein, so he asked, "What is your question, can you repeat?" So again he repeated the question. He said, "What a silly question you are asking. Even my car driver can answer this question. Because of it, my car driver, so Albert Einstein came and he gave answer." So everybody was happy. So they were thinking all the car, such a small person, such a big person, even the driver can answer. So they were completely amazed. So this shows that association being with a person will actually develop the qualities. When I was training in my degree, I wanted to clear my exams, many things were there, pressure, and they say this is your turning point in your life. So even in the textbook they put this devil mark. So important. So some questions they put arrow mark also. This question is very important, you have to study. So I was studying so much, but nothing was going in my head. So when I came, when I got the association of devotees, all the devotees, they were completely, I met some devotees, I asked them, Prabhu, they were asking me, Prabhu, what are you doing? I told them, I am doing my degree, so what are you doing? They said, I am doing my MBA, I am a distinction holder, I am from IIT, many things. I was completely confused. I got really frustration, completely frustrated. I went home and I was thinking, say, what did I do? I did not study properly, I should study properly. But I did not know how to do. Then finally I went to group study with my friend's house. There I went and he had put one poster which had three horses. And there was one liner which actually stuck, which completely shook my heart. And I decided, yes, I should do. So the poster was, there were two black horses, half jumped, and there was one white horse which is completely jumped. And there was a sun, very bright sun. And on the brightness of the sun, there was one liner which said, being the winner makes you a winner. So after I read this, I got so much conviction. Then immediately I came to devotees, I said, oh, I want to study, give me all the, what I should do exactly. So then devotees actually guided me. So after they guided me, actually I taught among my group friends. So it was very nice. So then for the next is D. D stands for, you getting? Dead. So whatever we have good, we should, if we take Krishna Prasadam, it is very nice. So dead means we are taking only prasad. So devotee was saying, what is the full form of prasad? So prasad is the prasad. So you are saying the full form of prasad is Prabhuki Saksha Darshan. So we started our topic with Doordarshan and we are ending our topic with Saksha Darshan. So if you can follow this MAD, that is MAD, A for meditation, A for association, B for diet, then it is easy so that we can also become MAD for Krishna. So we have time. Okay, last two minutes. So actually, we all had wonderful classic time, 1 month. So recently I was giving one lecture about Dhamma Leela. So very wonderful analogy one devotee was giving, Prabhupada, one of the Prabhupada disciples. He said, Krishna stealing butter has three aspects in it. So the first point, Krishna doesn't steal butter from anybody's house. It is not that Krishna will just go and steal butter, there is butter and steal. Actually, there are three conditions. Only if these three criteria satisfied, then only he will steal the butter. So what are these criteria? This Prabhupada disciple was explaining very nicely. He said, Krishna will steal butter which is very very soft. Very very soft. Only if the butter is very soft, then only he would steal and eat. And the second condition is, Krishna will steal butter which is extremely pure white. It should be very very white. If there is something there, he will not reject. It has to be completely white. And the third condition is, Krishna will steal butter only in the early morning. And he said this point, these three points, and he was saying, how in our life it happens. So even in our life, we want Krishna to steal our heart, right? So you're saying, so Krishna stealing butter is like Krishna stealing our heart. So there are three conditions. We should satisfy three conditions. The first condition is, our heart should be as soft as butter. So how can we make our heart softer? How can we make butter soft? By churning it, right? So by churning. So this devotee was saying, our heart can be made softer by constant chanting. So chanting is like churning the heart. So by churning, by constantly chanting, then our heart becomes softer and softer. The second condition is, Krishna can steal our heart if the butter is pure, that is white. So similarly, our heart should be pure. That is pure means there should be no anartha. And the third, Krishna will steal the heart is very very important only in the early morning. So you are saying, why Krishna would steal the butter in the early morning? You are saying, if Krishna would steal in the daytime, all gopis and gopas would be awake and they would be doing some of the activities in the house. So he cannot enter the house. And if you go in the evening, what happens? Yashoda Mata will be waiting for Krishna. So if Krishna comes late, then Yashoda Mata will come for Krishna and beat Krishna. So Krishna starts only less time in the early morning. So only if he goes in the Brahma Muhurta time, everybody will be sleeping and he can go and take the steal the butter. So similarly, even if we can early in the morning, then Krishna comes and steals our heart. So this is a wonderful analogy which is so easy. Thank you very much. If I spoken anything which is beyond my realization, please forgive me. Thank you.